Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I'm really disappointed that I cannot be live with you guys tonight. By the time you're listening to this, I will be somewhere driving down 55, coming home from Senatobia. Hey, Dad, and I will be there today doing the radio show from Northwest. Thursday, please come see us on Thursday at College Corner. It was a massive success last year. A lot of you guys came out and saw us. I hope you do it again. So come see us at the College Corner in Oxford on Thursday, 3 to 6, doing the radio show. Hope to see you there. Again, disappointed I'm not live with you guys tonight, but we have a lot to talk about. Lane Kiffin spoke with the media yesterday. I've got 6 clips for you. Things that kind of stood out to me during his press conference, getting ready for game week, week one, this Saturday night in Oxford. So a lot of stuff to take away there. A lot to talk about with you on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Follow me on Twitter and on YouTube if you have not already. If you're listening to this, thank you. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just search my name, subscribe there. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a like and a comment. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Double up. I want all of you to double up. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, subscribe on YouTube. And, of course, leave a rating and a review. This edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Sometimes, unfortunately, in life, injuries are unavoidable. It just happens to us sometimes. If you have been personally injured, or you may have like small business legal stuff that you need help with, or contract disputes, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi, but if you're in Mississippi, he can help you out. Here's the phone number, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report. So a few things from the press conference yesterday. Lane Kiffin, I'm not going to play it for you. He did talk a little bit about their mock game and how, you know, he likes where they are. He liked how they looked up front, blah, 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 right? They had a mock game. It was just to go through like game day rehearsal, which was really interesting, by the way, when you consider that a lot of these guys have never played at Ole Miss before. And it's little things like their stretching routine and, you know, the tunnel and like how they take the field and all those things. Although like Walter Nolan's played a lot of football, for example, Juice Wells has played a lot of football. They haven't done it at Ole Miss. And there's a certain way that every school does things. And so even though you've got veteran guys like that on your team, they still need to, you know, kind of understand what it's like to just go through game day while at Ole Miss. So that's kind of what they did on Saturday. He did talk about Furman a little bit. Called them really well coached, and they are. Called them really tough. Referenced the 14 all score last year at South Carolina until Furman got a little bit overwhelmed. Look, you guys know me. You know I love Furman. Got the poster hanging on the wall. I've been trying to get my dad to dig up old pictures of he and I from Furman games to share with you guys, but he has not been able to find them just yet. They're near and dear to my heart. They are not going to be able to physically match up with Ole Miss. When it comes to FCS teams, though, they are one of the better ones. They're the number 9 preseason ranked team in the FCS. They should have beaten Montana in the playoffs last year, but they did win a playoff game to get to that point. Should have won that game. Lost a lot, though. Their quarterback went off to Jacksonville State. They are replacing a lot of pieces from last year's team, and apparently they've sustained some injuries during camp as well. So Kiffin's right. They're well-coached. They really are. Clay Hendricks has done a really good job at Furman. They are one of the better FCS teams in the country. But physically, there's just no way they're going to be able to match up with Ole Miss. If Ole Miss is locked in and focused, then it's going to go the way that you think it's going to go, regardless if Furman is ranked number 9 in the FCS or not. So he did give them a compliment, a deserved one. A lot of times you get like BS coach speak with these FCS games. I think he was being truthful when it came to Furman. They are well-coached. They are tough. They do run kind of an interesting offensive scheme. And although he didn't say this, they're going to be physically overmatched in this game. So anyway, let's get to his clips now. I will stop yapping and let you guys hear a little bit from Lane Kiffin. We'll just go kind of rapid fire here, starting with he was asked about the camp strategy. We've talked about that before, going a little bit lighter in the preseason like the NFL does. Because, you know, they play 17 games. They're soon going to play 18 games. And Ole Miss expects to play 16 games. And the strategy is also aided by the fact that they get to open with Furman in Middle Tennessee. But still, Kiffin was asked about it now that camp is over, what he thinks about said strategy. And here is what he had to say about that.
Yeah, we did. I don't know the, you know, we'll see, does it work as far as are we ready to play in the first quarter of the year? Because it is less physical work, less reps in our traditional style. So with anything, there's a cost and benefit. So hopefully we've been able to take advantage of the mental, you know, walkthroughs in place of them, in place of the practices. And outside of a receiver, I think it's paid off health-wise.
So, yeah, the health thing, we'll get to the receivers here in just a second, his comments on that. But I don't think they would have changed a whole lot. I mean, maybe they would have been a little bit more physical if it was Florida instead of Furman. But, I mean, this is kind of the new way to get a team prepared for the season. If the NFL does it, it's probably the right thing to do, especially when you're expecting to play 16, not just 12 games. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw some growing pains with things like tackling. If there's a couple of possessions early in the Furman game where there's some missed tackles, don't panic. That is something that I don't necessarily expect, but if we're talking in the post-game show on Saturday and there's a handful of missed tackles, don't be surprised. That's the kind of stuff that I think that you'll see improve as the games go on, because they didn't do that much. True, I mean, they did tackle and they did have scrimmages and stuff like that, but because it wasn't as intense as it's been, you know, in the past, there could be some growing pains on that front. I wouldn't be too concerned about that unless it manifests like in week 3, 4, and 5. But that is something to kind of keep an eye on, at least in my opinion, is do they tackle, like what's the tackling look like considering their camp strategy? But I think it would be really ill-advised to, you know, just kind of beat their brains in for the duration of training camp when not only are you trying to play this many games, but my dad and I actually were talking about this the other day. I was behind my computer and we were looking up like old rosters from like the 90s and, I mean, even 2000s, and just the size difference and the speed difference of some of these guys compared to just 10, 15, 20 years ago is pretty insane. It's a different caliber athlete, so you have to treat them a little bit differently. All right, here's the next thing for you. I'm going to kind of play these back-to-back because they're very similar, but this, he was asked about his brother, Chris Kiffin, joining the staff, and here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, this is something kind of with a lot of different things, and my father, you know, that something that we discussed and you know, was able to work out. So it's really awesome to have him around without being too personal. I think that I know my dad's excited about that, and you know, this is, he reminded me, our fourth time working together. So it's awesome, especially as his four kids will be here, and they're actually on the same street as me. So I moved in two nights ago. So that's really cool and really awesome. And from a coaching standpoint, gives us somebody with a lot of experience and good ability to game plan and knowledge.
Yeah, pretty obviously an emotional thing there, but I imagine a really cool experience. And I don't think Chris Kiffin is long for Lane's staff. I think he'll be back in the NFL next year. But the fact that they've got, you know, the family together, at least in part this season, is, I assume, a really cool and an emotional thing, as you heard right there. But just like he mentioned in football, having him around is it's huge. And so here is he expanded a little bit more on the analyst and the staff as a whole. And so here that is right now.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome to have so many people available to them that have, one's been an NFL head coach. And I talked with Chris, another been in the NFL for a long time, and so I really like that we have so many resources for them from a football knowledge standpoint, from a life situation standpoint. These kids go through a lot, and so the more people you can have around that have either done it themselves as players or now as coaches, walk kids through different situations is of extreme value. So I'm appreciative of Keith for allowing us to be able to bring all these guys together and have the spots for them. And it's very Alabama model-ish, and being there was a lot to that. Everybody kind of, I think, looked at it as like, well, the coaches went there and kind of rehabbed and got jobs out of there, and I don't know if there's enough, you know, thought of how much that helped the players, having all those coaches there. That's the way I look at it now.
And that's something that I haven't, talked about enough is like Lane Kiffin is kind of creating his own coaching rehab like Nick Saban did. But Ole Miss deserves a lot of credit for this, because it's one thing to say that you want to win in football, and it's another thing to actually do and frankly take some financial risks to give your football coach everything he possibly needs to win in football. Like, we're seeing it with basketball right now at Ole Miss. Like, in the past, people at Ole Miss and athletic directors and leadership and stuff, yeah, we want to win in basketball, but have not truly invested the resources that it takes to actually win in basketball. They're doing it now. It's kind of been the same thing in football, too. Keith Carter and Glenn Boyce at the university level, they are fully all in on investing whatever it possibly takes to be successful in football. They are giving Lane Kiffin everything that they possibly could give him to win in football. And you're already seeing the return on said investment this year, obviously a totally different deal. But hearing Lane Kiffin compare what he's been able to build at Ole Miss to Alabama doesn't just speak to Lane Kiffin and his connections, and he's got a lot of them, and he can build a good staff because of that. It also speaks to Ole Miss. He's not just talking about the personnel that he has. He's also talking about the school and what they are giving to him. Ole Miss administrations of the past would not have given the resources to build a staff like this one has for Lane Kiffin. And, I mean, as you heard me say on the last live stream, among the analysts, I am most curious about the impact that Joe Judge has, because Ole Miss needs to be better in the return game than they have been. But that trio of Arnett and Judge and now his brother, the experience that they have, former NFL head coach, NFL position coach, former head coach and defensive coordinator that really gave Lane Kiffin's offense fits. I mean, the return on that investment is going to be huge. The help that those guys are going to provide is Alabama-esque. And hearing Lane Kiffin talk about that is it's just a reminder of how far Ole Miss has come when it relates to investing in football. Kiffin was asked about the helmet communication. That's kind of been a big talking point, because Hugh Freeze, for example, at Auburn, they said that they had issues with the technology in their mock game on Saturday. You saw Haynes King really struggle to hear when they were playing Florida State. And yes, there was a lot of Florida State fans there. That's a small stadium. That many Florida State fans should not have been able to create the noise that caused Haynes King to have to cover his helmet and not be able to hear. So there's been some questions about helmet communication. Lane Kiffin was asked about that and then added an anecdote when it comes to what they're going to do with Pete Golding this season. So here that is.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it's a game changer. Like I said, I don't know that maybe it does that much, because if both sides are using it the same way, probably neutralizes offense and defense, but there's tremendous advantages to it. And then the iPads and the ability to rewind on there with live shot, with film, not just pictures, which I guess is even more than the NFL gets. Kind of made between series and other series, like a lot of work to do and a lot of information. So I think just getting used to that. It's part of why we've also put Pete in the press box. I think that the value of the coordinator in the press box now moves up. because he has access to so much information up there, and to look at it calmly and less stuff you got to drop down there, because it's already, you can just show the players the film, the assistants can.
So that's interesting on a few fronts. One, that they seem to be not walking back the advantage that the helmet communication gives them, but it's like, you know, the other side is going to have it too. But the technology available to them is fascinating, because like you said, it's more than the NFL. They get access to actual video. And because there's so much, like a sensory overload of information, they're going to start with Pete Golding up in the box. And he's always been, as I understand it, an on-field defensive coordinator. But having that access to technology, and instead of having him in more of like a chaotic environment, he can be in, you know, not a climate controlled, but in the booth where you can have, you know, multiple screens that you're not having to hold up, and you don't have crowd noise bothering you and other things, that you can really focus on reviewing the film. And of course they have direct communication to the sidelines with their players anyway, but hearing that they think it might be easier to digest all of that for Pete up in the booth as opposed to on the sidelines is definitely an interesting new angle to how they're approaching the start of the season. Doesn't mean he'll always be up there, but the fact that they have what they're referring to as like a sensory overload is a good thing, especially is an interesting thing. But when I think of Pete Golding and Lane Kiffin, especially, Pete's a really good recruiter, and he's done really good things recruiting wise. But when you hear somebody like Nick Saban and people that have worked with him talk about him, they call him like a savant, and that's the same thing for Lane Kiffin. They have a coaching advantage in the X's and O's department. So having guys like that are in their positions, not because, like, you see it all the time where DCs get hired because they're recruiters. It's happened at Ole Miss before. Where maybe there are better offensive or defensive minds out there, but not the ones calling their offenses and defenses. Ole Miss doesn't have that problem. They've got some pretty brilliant football minds, and having the increased access to technology and information could possibly increase their advantage that they have as coaches. Maybe not something to keep an eye on. Last couple of things for you. Here is a very simple question and kind of a short but interesting answer. Lane Kiffin on what he can learn on Saturday.
A lot. I mean, all areas of it. Got new defensive players, got a mixture of different offensive linemen, got these receiver injuries to work through, and, you know, had an elite running back that had the majority of carries last 2 years. And so there's a lot of stuff that look forward to seeing.
Finally referred to Quinshon as elite. That was an interesting little word that he used there describing Quinshon. The running back position is something that I'm going to be watching very closely over the first 4 weeks, because yes, it's Furman in Middle Tennessee, and you know, these guys have done it against better teams, but it sounded like maybe he's not concerned, but he might be. That was not a ringing endorsement of his running back room, and maybe it was unintentional, but it sounds like they need these guys to come and improve something over these first few weeks to make them feel more comfortable about losing what he described as an elite running back that took the majority of the carries. Something to keep an eye on. I expect them to run the football a lot, because that's what they do over the first few weeks. But sounds like they have some questions about that room, and we'll see if we can get some answers over the first few weeks. And finally, this one cracked me up. This is him being asked about wide receiver health.
And then you mentioned the wide receiver injuries that you've got. Did you expect to have Juice and Jordan this weekend?
I hope to. But I don't know that.
Lane Kiffin could have a player that on the field, like, loses a leg, like, just gets taken away from him somehow, and he will in a press conference say, we hope he plays. I swear he'll do that. But obviously talking about Watkins and Wells, we talked about Juice Wells participating in the mock game Watkins is nursing, I believe, a hamstring injury. If this wasn't Furman, I think what they do on Saturday would be different. I don't expect there to be any long-term anything with either one of them. This is a good opportunity, as we've talked about, for Caden Lee and Aiden Williams to show what they're capable of and improve their reliability. If Watkins doesn't play, I don't think you should be overly concerned. I think they're going to be cautious because they can, because they know exactly what he is. He and Jackson have obviously very good rapport. He knows the offense, all that. Wouldn't be worried about him at all. They have been very cautious with Juice, but it sounds like, again, if it was a more important game, we would be having different conversations about the two of them than we are right now. It's the offensive line injuries that we talked about last live stream that are a little bit more concerning than those two. Although, again, I think Jerquan Scott is going to be back maybe even weeks before Kentucky comes to town. Apparently, he's had a great camp, and they're really excited about him. The podcast, by the way, is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com, Advantage Business Systems, has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So if you tell them I sent you, by the way, you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. ABSMS.com for all of your office technology needs. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money and not needing multiple apps like I used to at my old bank, because Priority One Bank makes me their priority. Last thing for you, no depth chart. We did not get a depth chart to overanalyze this week. As I told you on the live stream, there is absolutely no reason to read too far into whatever depth chart got released, because I don't think they would spend any time on it, but they didn't release one at all. So what does that mean? I think it's a portal thing, frankly. I think it's a two-folded portal thing. They don't want players to look at that and lose focus or attention, and they don't want other schools to look at it and start tampering as they prepare for a season in which they have very lofty goals. So I would like a depth chart because I like looking at them. I understand why they don't. It wouldn't be particularly serious anyway. They're going to play a lot of guys over, especially these first 4 weeks, but no depth chart. So we don't get to overanalyze anything there. So we'll see what it looks like on Saturday. I really wouldn't read too much into the rotations on Saturday either, frankly, but we'll do more of a preview on Thursday's edition. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Sorry we weren't live today, but hopefully this sufficed in the meantime. We'll see you on Thursday. We'll see you on Friday. We'll see you on Saturday, and we will see you on Sunday. Talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.